Amen.
It's good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here. Children, if you'd like to go, you go to Children's Church this morning. And again, I thank you for your help decorating the Christmas tree. And if you'd like to take your ornament home with you, grab it on your way out this morning. Thank you for bringing it and sharing it with us this month. And so, it's been beautiful. Thank you to those that came caroling Wednesday night. We had such a good time, and I know those we were able to visit appreciated us going. And I appreciate you taking time to come. And Wednesday nights, we will not have services this Wednesday night or next Wednesday night. So remember that. We're creatures of habit, so when changes, we're prone to. But remember, and but also remember, we will get back to normal on January 6th. And we're going to go through a study by Rob Morgan. He's retired now, but pastored of Donaldson Free Will Baptist Church in Tennessee for many, many years, and just a super preacher. But he also writes tons and tons of books. And he's written a really good one, Mastering Life. And so we're going to start a study based on that book. And I encourage you, pick you up a copy. They're on sale on Amazon right now, so they're $9 or $12. You can buy them from the Christian bookstore here in town. I saw one in there the other day when I was in there looking for something else. So, and if that one's gone, then they can order you another one. So either way, but encourage you to get that and start reading through that excellent book. And also about the Gridiron Conference, you know, if you haven't, say, you know what? Because dads are hard to shop for, notoriously hard to shop for. They don't need another saw, they don't need a soap on the rope, and they don't need another tie. But what they might need is a little getaway for the weekend. It's Father's Day weekend, Friday and Saturday of Father's Day weekend in Huntsville, so I can get you information if you need that. That would be a good gift. So, and thank you for your cards and Christmas gift. We love and appreciate each of you. And pray that you'll have a wonderful, marvelous Christmas. This isn't part of my sermon. Seth just forgot all about our order of service, but and this wasn't even on the order of service, but we have a new addition joining us today. And why don't you two bring her up here so we can all see her? Well, we want to see you too, but... I'll okay. Oh, Allison's busy doing something. All right. Well, bring the little darling up here so we can see her. That's all right. She might stay asleep. But if not, that's okay. And by the way, you know, crying in a church is a good thing. That means we've got some children, and you know, a church without crying might be dying. Miss Holly, this morning, that's really good. So, this is Spencer Joy, 6 weeks now, and she is the most darling little thing. And so we look at her; she's even praising the Lord there. Isn't that wonderful? She was amening me at 9 o'clock when I started preaching. She started making a little noise. So I think she's going to make a fine church member, and we are so proud. Thank you for sharing, letting us see her, and sorry to put you on the spot. But if you have your Bibles this morning, if you find the letter of 1 John way in the back of your New Testament. We're going to talk about love this morning, and Tyler Smart meant lead us to love. This Advent season, we've been talking about the star and it leading us along, and today is that last week. That means Christmas is later this week, that really starts off a new year for Christians. And you know, Easter couldn't have happened without Christmas happening. Jesus had to come born of a virgin. He had to be fully man. And he was. But he was also fully God. And that's why he could pay the sin debt that we all owed. He did not owe the price, and yet he paid it for us. And what a great gift that is. And so, you know, we use these weeks leading up to Christmas to help center ourselves, not on parties and lights, because those things are nice, but that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about Christ. And just as he came once, 2,000 years ago nearly, he's coming again. And so we're reminded of that during this holiday season. So as that holiday star appeared in the east as a beacon and a guide to the newly arrived Messiah, Jesus. And again, that star gets very little press, but it's so important in the Christmas story. And so we've talked over these last few weeks about hope that comes from that great gift. And we talked about peace that comes from that great gift. And last week we talked about the joy that comes from that great gift. And perhaps the greatest part of that gift that Jesus gave is love. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Together, as we continue to look at the light, as we follow the star, we'll look at love this morning. That star signals the brightest love, the love that never gives up, the love that conquered sin and death, the love that surrounds us daily and fills our hearts eternally. Perfect love. God's love. Remember from that first sermon 4 weeks ago, Emmanuel, God with us. And that makes all the difference in the world. So John reveals to us exactly what God's idea of love really is in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. It says, Beloved, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this that we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed that the love of God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. When we think about God, we certainly, I hope, love is one of the first things that pops in to your mind. For though it's not the only, and I dare say it's not even the most important characteristic or attribute that God has, it is a major one. In fact, John says the only way that anybody on earth can truly know what love is not being a better person, not doing good stuff. Well, how does he say that we know love? By knowing God. And John makes the point, we cannot really know what love is, and we can't express love, what truly and to the deepest extent that God intended for it, and what it really is, until God comes into our life and we experience the love of God firsthand. Now, help us think about that. Let me ask you a few questions. You can raise your hand if you'd like to. How many of you have gotten all of your Christmas shopping done? I'm not in that. All right, a few of you. All right. How many of you haven't even started your Christmas shopping yet? All right, I didn't have any hands on that, so that's a good thing. How many of you are just skip the whole shopping thing and go straight to Christmas dinner? That sounds like a mighty good idea, Brother Steve. You know, wherever you stand on Christmas gift shopping and all, Americans spend a lot of money on Christmas. A few years ago, for the first time, shopping from November to January topped $1 trillion. That's T with the trillion with a T, T, T. Yeah. That's a bunch of money. It's mind-boggling. But there's another fun number for you, $60 billion. That's how much Americans spent on their pets last year. That's B with the billion with a B. Leads me to why? Why on earth would we spend that much money? You know, I love cats and dogs and fish and lizards and birds. I love animals. Most of you probably do. Cats, maybe some are questionable. But you know, you think about animals. They just cause a lot of trouble. You know, vacuum up hair, sweep. You got to feed them. You got to clean up their messes. You got to, you know, take them to the vet. And animal doctors aren't any cheaper than people doctors. They're more expensive. And yet we spend, and we clean. We apologize to neighbors. The reality is, our pets should be the ones paying us for all that we do for them. But we love them, don't we? And so we spend our hard-earned money on taking care of them, on feeding them, taking care of them. But it's not because of anything that they've done for us. It's simply because we love them and care for them. Now, do you get some benefit in return? You probably do. May you get some enjoyment about watching fish swim around in a bowl, or, you know, cats ignoring you, or dogs playing. And dogs are the best pets, of course. But I may be biased by that. But they don't give back. I mean, they don't do those things because we do. They're just animals. But we love them, and so we care for them, and we are kind to them, and it's not a perfect comparison. Don't go home saying, well, preacher said God loves us like we were dogs. That's not what I said. But it does help us to really maybe see what selfless and self-sacrificing love is about, at least a little bit. Because God does indeed love us. Let me ask you, how do you perceive God's love for you? Think about that for a minute. Do you feel you need to earn it? People, and I know some folks that have said this to me, do you even wonder if God's love is even meant for you? People say, preacher, I'm just too bad. There's no way God loves me. Do you see the overflow of God's love in your own life toward others? I hope you can say yes to that, and I hope if you can't by the end of the sermon this morning, you'll say, well, from now on, you will. But let's look and see what caused God to enter our world that first Christmas. A love that was a present from the creation of the world is enough for each and every one of us. And it's meant to overflow in our life. John said numerous times, and you know that when a preacher repeats himself, it's because not because he forgot what he said most of the time, or that he got lost in his notes most of the time. It's because he's trying to make a point. When a teacher stands up in class and says star something on the screen, you know, on the screen, they don't have blackboards anymore. They got, you know, computer screens with fancy markers that they whiteboard, you know, fancy schmancy things. When he stars something or he repeats it, what do his kids know? You know what? I probably better know that. I probably better know that in 1492 the Mayflower came with Christopher Columbus and came to America to Plymouth Rock, and that's not true. You know, those ships and story, you know, they're separated by 100 years or so, but it's easy to get the stories confused. And I did when I was, I still get the Mayflower and Christopher on the, you know, Christopher Columbus riding the Mayflower, but he was long dead before that Mayflower sailed. But you know something, that it's important when teachers repeat something or they store it. John mentioned four times at least in these verses not only that God is love, but he mentioned numerous times in these short verses that we read that if we know God, we love ourselves. Now, that's not what he said. He said, if you love God, you love others. Why? Because that's what God does. And just like every child, poor Spencer Joy is going to try to emulate Seth. Bless her heart. Why? Because he's daddy. And she wants to be just like him. And she wants to be just like mama. And you do things and act certain ways probably because of your upbringing, good or bad. But we, because God loved us, we love others. And by the way, it's not a, if you want to, it's a you better do it. It's like when mom or your wife asks you to take the trash out. She's not saying, do you think you want to take the trash outside? She's saying, if you know what's good for you, take the trash outside and put it in the dumpster. John says, if you love God, you better love others. It ought to flow out of you. And so how does that happen? I'd want to suggest three things quickly this morning to us, and that is, the first is this, that we need God to lead us to love from the very beginning, from the start. That's how God loves. God doesn't just love us when we come to know Him. In fact, He does the exact opposite. Paul says God loved us before we knew Him. Romans 5:8 says, God showed His love toward us, or demonstrated His love toward us in this, that Christ died for us while we were in our sin. You don't come to, you know, clean yourself up and then come to God. Jesus died to pay your sin debt before you were even a twinkle in mama's eye. We often talk at Christmas time as a time when love came down. And we say God's love entered the world as a baby, and that is true. But we would be mistaken if we didn't take a longer view and realize that God loved from the very beginning. You go back all the way to Genesis. You know, there's love and grace and mercy even in the Old Testament. It's not a New Testament concept. Maybe it's revealed more fully in the New Testament and in the work of Christ. But it's been there all along. The story is of the Bible is really a love story from the very beginning, from Genesis 1:1. When God created, he was motivated by love. He created mankind. You remember, he created man, and there wasn't a part to him. And what did he say? It's not good that man would be alone. And he caused Adam to sleep and took out a piece of rib and made Eve. And cared for them. And even when they sinned in that garden, and God punished them, but he also showed love, didn't he? You see, if you show someone and extend love to them when they're good or when they've done something nice for you, you really don't love them. Now, the world would call it love, but it really isn't. Because love is something you don't have to earn, and you can't buy, and you can't repay. Now, you can give it back, and you can share it with others, but you can't buy it. So God is not some distant uncle who shows up suddenly on Christmas Day that nobody knows what to do with. He's not a cold and miserly distant figure grudgingly offering us an occasional token. Yes, his love came crashing into a stable in Bethlehem 2,020 years ago. But Jesus' birth was the culmination of a long history of love. That in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 16, there's another gospel story beginning there. God pronounces judgment, but then he also gives the first glimpse of the gospel. Yes, you've sinned, and because you've sinned, a Messiah, a deliverer, is going to pay that sin debt. And it took a long, long time for that to come to fruition, but it did. So love was not something new that night that Jesus was born. Psalms 139 tells us God knew us intimately before we were even born. They said, while I was in my mother's womb, you knew me and you formed my most inward parts. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 6, this concept as well. Look with me. Just as he chose him in before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. God's love does not have anything to do with you. In fact, God loves you despite you. It's not something we have to earn or work for to maintain. It starts with God, not us, and it never ends. It is his nature and his character. It's a love worth focusing on, meditating, and basking on, especially during this season where we celebrate that God came because he loved. And remember, because he loved, we have to love others. And by the way, not those that are easiest to love. Most of the time, it's probably not hard to love your children. It's not hard to love your spouse. Not hard to love your church family. But sometimes there are people in this world, it's hard to love. People that attack your family or say bad things about you or, you know, just do dumb things, it's hard to love them. They certainly don't deserve it. But is love ever deserved? No. And that's the thing that makes love so great, is it's not deserved. And it's not earned. It's just given. And John says, if we know God, then love has to pour out of us. But more on that in just a minute. But secondly, this morning, not only do we need to remember that love happens from the very start, we have to remember it takes God helping to lead us to love enough. Sometimes there's folks that have a hard time loving God and accepting His love for them. And maybe we all have days like that. Some days you might doubt His love and care for you, and doubt that it's enough to cover all the pain and hurt and selfishness and evil of our world. If we're all, I think we all, at one time or another in our life, have said, yeah, we sometimes wonder about those things. Despite the fact we know that God is love and He really does love us, it's hard to remember that sometimes. It's hard to remember that when we're living in such an evil, awful world, and when we're dealing with such terrible circumstances that confront us on a regular basis. There is bad in this world, and there is pain, and there is struggle. But I want to remind you of good news this morning. God loves you. Well, preacher, God doesn't. He doesn't. Yeah, God knows you. He knows all about you. And He loves you anyway. And there's nothing you can do about it. Think about the rip-roaring atheist that just says the craziest things about God. God loves even them. And there's nothing they can do about it. Not because of anything that any of us have done or have to do. Not for today, but He's going to take it back tomorrow. Not like the father or mother, spouse or ex-spouse or friend or enemy who let you down or hurt you or, you know, twist what love really is. But God loves you and me and all of us purely, perfectly, wholly, and lavishly. You don't have to earn points to muster up love from God. He pours it out on you. No matter how unlovable or unworthy you may feel. You see, love isn't based on feelings. It's based on reality. And the thing is, God pours His love out unendingly. Now, for probably all of us, so we take our wallet, there's an end to our money supply, isn't there? A lot of times we have more month than we have money sometimes. As you give out, you're going to run out sooner or later. Miss Alice made some good chests. Well, thank you, by the way, Miss Alice, for making those and sending them. But you know what? As we ate them, eventually, they ran out. But the thing about God's love is you use it and use it and use it and use it and use it. It never ends. It never wears out. It never goes away. He never said, oh, I'm sorry, you've used up your portion for the month. Come back next time. No. It's a never-ending supply. Think about the Christmas story characters, those that we think of as, most don't fit in the most lovable people box. They were oftentimes bewildered, young. You know, think about the humble engaged couple that the wife had a baby, they weren't married yet. band of smelly shepherds, a group of foreign mystics. Where would you fit in the scene of Bethlehem night so long ago? You've been those just ignoring Mary and Joseph. Maybe you were one that gave eyes to Mary. Or thought that maybe you didn't say it, but you thought it. And by the way, Jesus says that's just as bad as saying it. But don't just say, if you think it, you need to ask forgiveness for that. You don't need to say it. But I think, anyway. But you see, God's love was right in the midst of those people that were so busy in their own lives. Those that were judging and being unkind to Mary and Joseph. Those that they thought they were better than those nasty, stinky shepherds. To look down on people that were different from them, that came from a foreign land to see the Messiah. There are people that are different than us all around us every day. And here's the thing, God loved us while we ignored Him, while we spat in His face, while we just ignored Him maybe. Yet He loved us. Because that's what love is. Well, what does that have to do with us, preacher? It means we don't just have to love those in our family and those that are nice to us. We have to love those that are different than us. We have to love those who we disagree with. Why? Because we have to love everybody. Why? Because God does. And God says, if you know my love, you'll love like I do. But God loves everybody. Sometimes that's hard. I know it is. Just imagine how you, just those handful of people that make it hard for you, God has a humongous pot of people that make it hard for Him. And yet He does. So God's love is deep and high and long. And it doesn't change even if our feelings do. And even when we feel distant from God, His love is right there beside us. The people of Israel must have felt abandoned many times through their history. They struggled to believe that God still loved them when they were held off captive. When it took centuries for the prophecies of a Messiah to come to be fulfilled. They grew weary of waiting, and yet God's love never waned. And God's love ultimately and fully was realized in the birth and person of Jesus Christ. God made flesh. Yes, love came down among us. Jesus was God's love with skin on. I love that little phrase. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus is and who He is. In Romans, Paul gives us a description worthy to cling to when we struggle with doubt or simply needing a hopeful reminder. Romans 8, 38 and 39 say, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing that you go through in life can take you away from God's love. Well, here's the culmination and the point of it all. Yes, we need God to help us with that, and we need God to help lead us, lastly, to love that overflows. Not just that we love people and we realize that hate has no place in the life and the testimony of a child of God, but that our love must overflow. On a normal Christmas season that's not a COVID year, many people gather with extended families, and that probably won't happen as much this year. There'll be aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and that come from all over the place together for Christmas. And the love that's there, man, it just is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a time of love and time of peace. You know, Grandma went to be with the Lord last year, last fall. But Grandma was one that loved Christmas. She was always a kind and loving person. But at Christmas time, her joy, her smile was brighter. Her hugs were tighter. She was a little lady, but she had a lot of pep in her, especially at Christmas time. It just overflowed out of Grandma. You knew that you loved her, or that she loved you. And you know, it's God's very nature that He is unending and unlimited. No one created God, and no one can end God. He just is. And if you think about that hard enough long, you'll get a headache and still not figure it out. But God's love is so great that He says and uses John to tell us in the verses that we read, God wants our love not to be contained, but for it to overflow. Not just that you have to love everybody, but you have to show it. Say, yeah, I love that annoying neighbor that plays his music too loud in the backyard and drives me batty, and neighbor with the dog that keeps me up all through the night. Yeah, I love them. I ain't going to let them know it. That's not the love that God says we're supposed to have. We're to love the way God loves us, and He loves us despite ourselves. And though it's hard sometimes, we're to love others despite themselves. On a very practical level, on this Advent journey that we've gone on, it is about God's love in us overflowing to others. It's wonderful that we remember the hope and the joy and the peace and the love that we have from God. But it's also a reminder that we live among people who have no idea that God loves them. And how are they going to know? Somebody's got to tell them. It ain't going to be a political party, and it's not going to be a news network. It's not going to be a PBS special. It's certainly not going to be a documentary on the History Channel. It's going to be God's people loving them. The ones they see and the ones they know. And so our love has to overflow. It's not something that we can do on our own, though. We can't muster it up. Can't whip it up. But God can give it. And we need to pray and ask Him that He would give it to us abundantly. Peter captures what I put. And I want to share with you the Living Bible's translation of 1 Peter 1, 22. It says, "Now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly with all your heart." In other words, don't just half love somebody. You go full in. You let them know it. And they can see it and sense it in not only your words, but in your actions. And we all know actions speak a lot louder than words. And there are people that need to not just hear about God's love, They need to see it and experience it for themselves. And God may just use you to make that happen. So God is love. He sent His Son to sacrifice for us. He laid His life down for us. God's love from the start and His gift to each of us is Jesus. And then secondly, hopefully we've seen God loves, and because God loves, God's love overflows within and through us to others. You know, God's love really is truly the reason we celebrate this season. What a great time of year, and Friday on Christmas Day, what a great day to share with others. Hey, you think, you know, I love you, but let me tell you, God really loves you, and let me tell you how you can know that He really loves you. Let me challenge you as well to walk in God's love as it penetrates and changes your heart and let it overflow, because, again, when God works in us, it's never to just stay in us. God changes us and blesses us and makes us into something wonderful and something good, so it outflows and impacts and helps other people. You probably can't help everyone this Christmas season, but you can help someone. And so you let the love of God flow through you to someone this week. I tell you, it will change not just that person, but I have a feeling it'll change you too. Let's pray together. God, thank You that in this season of Advent, You invite us to follow Your star on a journey. And today we are reminded of the love that You have for us. God, You call us to love. And Lord, You say that if we love You and You love us, then we ought to love others. We have to love others. Lord, help us to express our love to this world that desperately, Lord, we are in dark times. And we live in a dark world. Think of Isaiah's words, "Oh, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a land of people with unclean lips." Lord, we are living in an evil, dark, hopeless world. But Lord, we know that that's similar to the world that You came to, born of a virgin. We know love came down that Christmas morning. Lord, help us to know that truth personally. If there's one here that doesn't know that day, would You help them today to receive the greatest gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of redemption and renewal that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. But Lord, for those of us that are saved and know You, Lord, help us to let Your love overflow out of us, especially as we go through this week up to Christmas. Lord, may people that cross our paths know that You love them because they've met us and our paths have crossed. Help us to be Your people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. If we're singing a short